Norm, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It's an exciting day today.
Yeah, exciting day. How are you keeping all these balls up in the air?
I don't want to sound like we're taking anything for granted or anything, but this has kind of become an old hat for us where we have multiple horses running in multiple places and everything. And it's a little different today because Classic Empire's running and, the racing world's going to be watching him, obviously. But we feel like we've gotten really good at doing these type of weekends.
Well, obviously you have a big operation and you play on a different level than many trainers in the sport. And Norm, many trainers would give their right arm just to have a grade one starter. Forget about winning a grade one race. Just to have one grade one starter. You're talking about two on the same day. And as you said, it's kind of become old hat where you have horses running in big races at multiple tracks all over the country. What's that like for a trainer when you have so many good horses and so many big races on the same day? What, put me in your shoes. What's that like?
Well, I think it's obviously, it's very, very exciting. Every weekend we're very nervous. You wake up and you're like, oh, today's the day. Classic Empire runs. Today's the day Tebbin runs or whatever. But I think because when you obviously get a little bit used to not winning all the time. You win 20% of the time, you're doing a great job. So I think when you're running these type of races every weekend, you get used to, not winning, and it doesn't sting so bad, and you just look forward to the next one. And then when you win a race, you celebrate that night, and then you go on and you worry about the next weekend. So we never really think or dwell on anything too much because we always have so much action going on.
Yeah, that's a benefit of having a big stable. Have 9 more races the next day, and you don't have to sweat the small stuff, so to speak. But when you have a day like this where you've got horses running in 2 different locations, important races, do you and your dad split up, or do you all go to the same place, or how does that work?
Well, we have a tremendous team. Most of the time, let me just reiterate that. We have a great team, and we have multiple assistants at all these locations that are capable, that are trainers themselves, really, and we're comfortable leaving them to be in charge. David Carroll's a great horseman. He's at Kingland. He runs our Kingland division. He'll be in charge of Catch a Glimpse today, and there's no problem with that. He's ready for that. He's been trained to do that, and he'll do a great job, so we're always very comfortable where we go. With that being said, usually Dad and I do split up. Just the way it is. He likes me to be where he's not, vice versa. This weekend's going to be an exception. He wants to be here in Arkansas. I want to be here in Arkansas. And so we'll be together, but it doesn't happen very often.
Hey, Norm, Tony Atiano. I'm with Lexus, and I also had a farm in Ocala, and your grandfather, Norman Cassie, was a friend of mine. He was a great man. He helped me out an awful lot. So you're representing his name in a wonderful way. I know your dad, and I'm proud of you guys. I really am. Being next to Ocalian, I mean, I know when they told your dad to go north, I didn't think he was going to go that far north. But you're up in Canada, and now you guys have conquered Canada. But I follow you like a hawk, and you're doing your grandfather and your father real, real proud. So nothing but the best of luck to you guys.
Well, thank you, Tony. I think you hit the nail on the head. The way that I live my life and the way that we run our organization, at least on my side of things, is that, I had 2 grandfathers that were trainers for me. Everybody knows Norman, obviously, better. But, I run it in a way that I want to make them proud. They never achieved this level of success, and now here we are. We're running the favorite in the Arkansas Derby. And I feel like, they're watching down over us now, just enjoying the show that we're putting on. And that's a lot of the motivation that goes into this, believe it or not.
Well, God bless you and keep going.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Norm, let's talk about that favorite in the Arkansas Derby, Classic Empire, the juvenile champion. You brought him back in the Holy Bull on February 4th, and that performance was, it was not what you were looking for. He finishes third, but he was beaten about 10 lengths. Then after that, you kind of go through some ups and downs with him, and now here you are in the Arkansas Derby. Take me back to that Holy Bull and walk me through the progression as to what Classic Empire has been through and where he is coming into the Arkansas Derby?
Well, we were really confident going into the Holy Bowl. We didn't necessarily know if he was 100% fit, but that was kind of by design. We didn't really want him hurt up for the Holy Bowl. So we were a little apprehensive going into it. But otherwise, you know, we thought he'd run a really respectable race. I go back to the barn that Saturday, so he ships over from Palmetto's. I go and check on him at the barn at our Gulfstream division. And he's just a nervous wreck in the stall, completely washed out, completely unlike him in every regard. We joke about him being a bad boy and stuff because he refuses to train and things like that. And that's him. But, like, in the stall, at the races, he's a sweetheart. He's a professional. He's like a little kid's pony. So already knew that we were in trouble when I go and check on him at the barn. Now they bring him up to the paddock, and it looked like he had already lost 100 pounds from sweating so much back at the barn. He obviously runs up the track. We wrote it off as, well, he blew the race, you know, during the walkover, during the barn area type stuff. Then 2 days later, I come into fast forward now, we're at Palm Meadows 2 days after the Holy Bull, and he can't even walk. And we're like, well, I guess this is the end of this. And turns out that it's just a huge foot abscess that blows out of his right front foot. And sounds like a really negative thing, but it was so much relief for us because now we knew why he was the way that he was before the Holy Bull, why he was so nervous, why he didn't run his best race, and why, and more importantly, something that we could fix and go on for. So the Holy Bull, as much as a disappointment as it was, we really feel like we have a good grasp of why he ran that way. Now, leading up to it, he's had his little hiccups. He's refused to train. He's done this. These are things that he's done throughout his career, so it's not anything that I'm too really nervous about. We did have to make the change to send him to Ocala to train him there where he first started because we just felt like he did not like Palmettos. And there was a lot of horses this winter with us and other trainers included that just did not like the track. And we thought maybe getting him back home would be the thing for him. And since he's been to Ocala, he hasn't had a bad day. He's worked extremely well. He's well prepared. We got him here early. We've schooled him multiple times. So we feel like we've left no stone unturned. And other than being a little nervous about his fitness level going a mile and an eighth, we think he's ready to run a really big race today.
Well, that's the thing about the mile and an eighth. The fractions can be a little bit easier for a horse making a comeback, and that might work in his favor as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, I've been watching the racetrack here the last few days since I've been here in Arkansas. The track seems really fast. And even if the fractions are hot up top, you know, a really tight surface like this isn't nearly as tiring on a horse. So I don't know if he has to be 100% ready to be fit for a 9-furlong race here. But that's the big question mark today is where's his fitness level at, considering the time off he had to have with the foot abscess, considering the time he missed when he was refusing to train. He is, you know, I think it can be said that he's going to be a little short today. But him being a little short may still be good enough to win the race. But more importantly, we're looking for a foundation-building race, a fitness-building race, to move forward for the first Saturday in May and have the best horse possible for the Derby.
Norman, why do you think he has been so quirky over the past several months, especially with, you know, the refusing to train and things like that?
No, I don't know. I mean, his pedigree would suggest that he would do that. There's a lot of Pioneer of the Nile are, you know, they're studdish type horses that kind of get their own way. They say that Empire, his dad, was the same way. They say that Empire Maker's Mare was one of the meanest horses of all time. So a lot of it has to do with pedigree, Mike, but that's what made American Pharoah so unique. He was by Pioneer of the Nile, yet he was the coolest horse you've ever been around. And it was like, whoa, that's completely different than any of the ones we've ever been around. With that being said, it's not the last few months. This horse has been doing these type of things to us even before I went to London for the Royal Ascot. So this isn't something new that we've been working with. It's just something you guys know about now because he's the Derby favorite and he's got a microscope on him and things like that. It's just, you know, if I had to really put a, you know, a finger on it, I would think it's just because he's so intelligent and he just likes routine. He likes us to mix it up on him. Anytime we've shipped him to new places, he's never turned a hair. You know, he likes that. So that's what I think. I just think he's so intelligent that we got to keep things fresh for him.
Norm, I'm glad you bring up the pedigree, and I'm glad you bring up American Pharoah, another son of Pioneer of the Nile. Didn't Bob end up putting cotton in his ears or doing something to kind of help him tune out all of the noise surrounding him? And if so, is that something you would ever think about doing with a horse like Classic Empire, or would it even be necessary?
You know, we've flirted with that idea. We've never actually ran a horse with cotton in his ear, so I think we'd be a little apprehensive to do that just because it's not something that we do. Bob would do that with a lot of his horses. I don't know. This horse does see – this horse is just very observant. And so I see him looking around. I see his ears flicking, moving around, listening to things. And if that became a real big concern, I think we would do that. But I'm just telling you, I've been around this horse, you know, every time he's ever ran, I've been there, obviously. And, like, the paddock and everything like that has never been an issue for him. He ran at Churchill on 4th of July weekend. There were fireworks going off all around Churchill, you know, in the neighborhood. He never batted an eye. He went to Saratoga. Now, there was the debacle that was him dropping the rider. But in the paddock at Saratoga for the hopeful, one of the, you know, craziest scenes in horse racing, the Saratoga paddock, never batted an eye. Kingland, Breeders' Futurity, never batted an eye. Breeders' Cup, never batted an eye. So noise and that type of stuff just does not bother him like maybe it did American Pharoah. Now, maybe as the crowds get bigger for him, if he wins today and he goes on to the Derby and on, we may have to address that because he'll be the one that everybody cheers for. But for now, we're comfortable with that.
Trainer Norm Cassie with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Norm, only about a minute or so left before we have to get to our next commercial break here, but quickly sum up what you're going to be looking for this afternoon during the running of the race. What do you want to see from Classic Empire moving forward to the first Saturday in May?
I just want to see him run a good race. He doesn't have to win. We'd love for him to hit the board. Everybody's concerned about the points. We're not worried about the points whatsoever. If he runs the race that he needs to run to build on foundation and fitness, he'll have the points. I just hopefully, you know, we win. But if we don't win, more importantly, we're a length or two behind the winner, and we can go into Saturday, the next big Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, knowing we have a fit, ready horse, ready to perform at the highest level on horse racing's biggest day.
Well, there you go. He's Norm Cassie. He and his dad, Mark, in Arkansas, looking to get the juvenile champion back on track in this afternoon's Arkansas Derby, and no better team to do it. Norm, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Good luck today, and good luck with Catch a Glimpse in the Coolmore Jenny Wiley, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.